3. Amazing grace. Amazing grace. How about if we go to 342, Rock of Ages? Okay? Rock of Ages, clap for me. Huh? We're going to need a relief piano. What do you want? Amazing Grace, can you do that? Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was blind, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we're no less days to sing God's praise than when we first. Couple of ushers, please. It's got no money in it, Brother Lee. So you can't get your $5 for the Valentine party.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord Jesus, for everything you've given us. We honor and praise your glory. Name. Lord, we thank you for the word this morning. We thank you for our pastor and preaching the word and teaching the word. And we thank you for John leading the music tonight and Karen playing the piano and our choir playing this worship music, Lord. And Lord, we thank you for all of that, Lord. And thank you for the Holy Spirit. We pray that the Holy Spirit moves tonight, Lord. And if there's anyone here tonight don't know you, Lord, we pray they come forward and give their life to you. And Lord, we thank you for everything you've given us, Lord. And we just give such a small, just a small portion back to you, Lord. And we just thank you for what you give us in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Okay. Praises, testimonies, prayer request. Texas didn't win. Prayer request. Oh, Texas didn't win. Man, I want to tell you, snake bit Texans, God love them. Bless their hearts. Another year. I guess they got further than they ever got. I guess we'll be praying for those boys on the plane ride home. Yes, sir. Gene, what now? Coolis. Really? Is his body rejecting the transplant? Yeah. Let him go peacefully. No heroic. Yeah. Okay. Well, amen. All right. Praises or testimonies? That's a good prayer request. Any praises or testimonies tonight? Yes, ma'am. Was okay. Bruce fell. She fell. Marilyn's mom. Marilyn Davlin. Dedicated. Baby granddaughter dedicated. That's a good praise. They donate or dedicate her? I wouldn't give that girl away. I mean, when they get to be teenagers, I might give one away. But not now. Not when they're little and sweet like that. Baby granddaughter dedicated. That's awesome. In a brand new house. Praise the Lord. Okay. Still got a long way to go, but she's trucking along. Little Addie. All right. Who is this now? Okay. All right. She's at MD Anderson. What's going on with her? Oh, my. Wow. Okay. Other praises or testimonies? Yes. There you go, girl. Amen. The pressure's off because Alabama's not in the championship, so she can just kind of relax. She can relax. Amen. Hey, my team's not in it either, girl. So it's all right. We both missed out this year. All right. Any other testimonies? Better. Amen. Okay. Yeah. Doctor's appointment. All right. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's read our passage first, and then we'll pray. How about that? We're in Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. I'll begin reading here in verse 1, and we'll take it through verse 6. We started this passage last week, and we covered verses 1 and 2 as we covered it. We'll go ahead and read verses 1 and 2 again, and then again take it through 3, 4, 5, and 6. I invite you to stand in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God, Revelation chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. Have you found it this evening? Amen. There in the back of the book, Revelation, halfway through chapter 12. Here we are, chapter 12, verse 1. It said, a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. And she was with child, and she cried out, being in labor and in pain, to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his heads were 7 diadems. In your Bible, King James Version, what says? Crowns? Yes, okay. And his tail swept away a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she gave birth, he might devour her child. She gave birth to a son, a male child, who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and to his throne. Then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared by God, so that there she would be nourished for 1,260 days. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the reading of your word, and Lord, we lift up these prayer requests to you, and we thank you for these great praises tonight. We pray a special prayer for Gene Kulis and his passing, God. I just pray you give him the grace and the mercy, Lord, to bear what he's bearing right now as his body is rejecting this double lung transplant, the medication, and all that's transpired. Be with his family. Comfort them. Be with Gene as he goes through the valley of the shadow. And Lord, we lift up Marilyn Davlin's mom to you. We thank you that her injuries are not severe. And Lord, we just pray for Miss Marilyn. Help her with her mobility and her walking and getting around and all of those things she tries to do and wants to do. And Lord, we thank you for the baby granddaughter being dedicated, Lord, Fred and Ann's baby granddaughter. We thank you for that blessed event. And Lord, that's a special time in the life of that young family. And Lord, we just pray you help them bring that child up in church, in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. And Father God, we pray in advance now for that little girl's salvation. We just pray that one day you would enter that heart and transform that spirit, Lord. Bring it to life as that little granddaughter experiences the gospel, Lord. We pray that right now for her. And then, Lord, for little Addie, we don't know the last name, but we know the condition is dire. And, Lord, we pray for her. She's an MD Anderson. Lord, we pray you touch her body. Bring a miracle of healing. Lord, we've seen you do it, and we know you can. You're the great God of healing, Lord. We lift up little Addie to you tonight. And then Raven, Lord, we're thankful that Raven is on the mend. The Lord may have to have surgery. Going to find out tomorrow. And Lord, we just pray for a good appointment with the surgeon. And Lord, I pray she not have to have it. I pray that they do everything with oral medication and just get her back on the road and the path to health and healing. Thank you, Lord, they were able to get this thing before it got too bad. And Lord, we just pray you heal her body up. Lord, we thank you for your word. Pray you open our hearts to it as we continue on through the book of Revelation. Thank you for it, Lord. We praise you for all the details and all the stuff that you want to try to show us and teach us as this old time gets ready to wrap up. We know you're coming back. We thank you for that. It's in your name we pray and God's people said, amen. Thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the inerrant word of God, and may he add his tremendous blessing to it. Now, last week we talked about who is this woman. And we know the woman is the nation of Israel, but we just broke it down for you anyway, verses 1 and 2. We talked about her description. We talked about her number, her identity. We talked about her prophecy. We talked about her accessories. We talked about her condition. She was with child. We talked about her response, and she cried out because she was with child. We talked about her great destiny. As we begin this evening, we make the second point of these six verses, and that is, who is the persecutor of this woman? Who is the persecutor? Now, again, in my Bible, over verses 3 and 4, it says the red dragon, comma, Satan. Okay? So we want to kind of flesh all that out. This next vision is of a great red dragon who has seven heads and 10 horns, and on his heads were seven diadems, or as your Bible says, if you have a King James Version, crowns. So we want to take this description of the dragon, we want to break down symbol by symbol, per the Word of God. Per the Word of God, we know that the dragon is none other than who? None other than Satan, right? If you'll look with me at chapter 12, verse 9, and the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil, and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him, right? So we've got that reference that feeds back into verses 3 and 4. And we also have chapter 20, if you'll look at chapter 20 with me. Chapter 20, verse 2. This is going to be a great, glorious day right here when chapter 20, verse 2 happens. And he laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for, yeah, thank you for finishing that, 1,000 years. So who is the persecutor of this woman? Well, it is none other than Satan, but let's look at the personality, first of all, of the dragon. Verse 3, we see, then another sign appeared in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, a great red dragon. Red, the color of what? Red's the color of war. Red's the color of what? Red's the color of bloodshed. The red here brings to mind the red horse of Revelation chapter 6, verse 4. Revelation chapter 6, verse 4, the Word of God reads, and another, a red horse, went out, and to him who sat on it, it was granted to take peace from the earth, and that men would slay one another, and a great sword was given to him. This dragon is none other than a killer. This dragon is someone, something that brings death, brings war, brings bloodshed with him when he comes. The color of war and bloodshed. We're talking about the personality of the dragon. He's first described as red, but he's also called, and I've already said it several times, dragon. A dragon is a winged serpent. A serpent with wings that breathes fire. That's right. Now, there is no such thing in our natural world today, but your simple-minded pastor believes that dragons once walked the earth. Why else would we have a reference to a red dragon in the Word of God, okay? So I don't think it's a fable. I think dragons exist. I mean, they have a bug in South America that part of its defense is shooting a super hot liquid from its body, and and it mixes together, and it makes a chemical reaction, and it'll, like, burn you, right? If a little bug can do that, well, I'm telling you, there were red dragons, and somehow they breathed fire. Well, maybe I'm wrong, but maybe old Pastor Steve is right. This, again, is a picture of the devil dragon. In fact, we're very safe in identifying the dragon and the devil because of what verse? We've already looked at it, Revelation chapter 12, 9. The description dragon is symbolic, though, just as the woman in the previous verses represents Israel, the dragon represents Satan. So it's not a literal dragon, it's a representative term. We see seven heads. Seven heads speaks of vast intelligence, okay? We're dealing with a brilliant and wise creature, and he's a wily serpent, isn't he? Wily. Then we see 10 horns. Horns are a symbol of power. Satan is not all-powerful and only has allowed or permitted power. Who's allowed him? God, yeah, God's giving him that. Then we see 7 crowns or diadems. My Bible says diadems, your Bible says crowns. Crowns are a symbol of authority. And we know, based on 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 4, that Satan is still, right now, he's still the god of this world. Okay, now that's going to be changing when Jesus comes back. And we read the glorious verse in chapter 20, verse 2. Amen? So as we think about this, be reminded of Satan's downward spiral and fall when he led a mutiny against God among the angels as he attempted unsuccessfully to destroy the paradise of heaven. Remember where he's come from. And then be reminded that he led a mutiny against God among men, and when he did that, Satan destroyed the earthly paradise of the Garden of Eden, and he plunged the whole human race into decay and corruption, and usurped temporarily the role of the ruler of this world. Per chapter John 12, verse 31, and John chapter 16, verse 11. Now, that's what the 7 heads and the 10 horns and the 7 diadems and crowns and the red and the dragon, that's what those things mean individually. But when we take them as a whole, 7 heads, 10 horns, 7 diadems and crowns, those things mean something individually, but together they reveal something deeper. What do they reveal? The 7 heads with their 7 diadems or crowns represent 7 consecutive world empires. You've heard this dispensation before, I'm sure. These empires run their course under Satan's dominion. The first empire that we have is Egypt. The second one is Assyria. The third one is Babylon. The fourth one is Medo-Persia. The fifth one is Greece. The sixth one is Rome. And Antichrist's future empire will be number 7. That's spoken of in Revelation chapter 17, verses 9 through 10. Let's just look at that right quick. Revelation 17, verses 9 through 10. All right. Here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads and are seven mountains on which the woman sits, and they are seven kings. Five have fallen. One is the other has not yet come, and when he comes, he must remain a little while. Revelation 17, 9 through 10. The final kingdom ruled by Antichrist will be a 10-nation confederacy. The 10 horns represent the kings, the prime ministers, the presidents, whatever, who will rule under Antichrist, who will rule under him. And you have that reference in Daniel chapter 7, verses 23 through 25. Again, you have that reference in Revelation chapter 17, verse 12. We looked at Revelation 17, 9 and 10. The shifting of the diadems from the dragon's heads to the beast's horns occurs in Revelation 13, 1 and reveals the shift in power from the seven consecutive world empires to the 10 kings, presidents, prime ministers, however you want to say it, under the final Antichrist. Which, I was really excited when I heard that Britain wanted to Brexit, right? But boy, are they ever going to Brexit? Are they ever going to Brexit? I mean, come on. Let's Brexit. You want out. You want out of the European Union. It's like they can't get out. It's like the people voted we want out. It's like let us out. But they can't come to terms to get out. I was so gung-ho when they said we want out. Because you got to have this 10 what? You got to have this 10 nation confederacy. That kind of sets it up for the Antichrist, right? The final kingdom ruled by Antichrist will be a 10 nation confederacy. The 10 horns represent the 10 kings, prime ministers, presidents, country leaders who will rule under Antichrist. Satan is depicted as a seven-headed monster that rules the world. He's been allowed by God to rule the world since the fall, and he will continue to do so until the seventh trumpet sounds in Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. Remember, we covered that passage, and we said after that, we're going to kind of do a little prehistory. We're going to kind of go back. Well, this is the kind of the prehistory. We're going back. This is kind of the second installment of going back. Remember that Revelation 11, 15? That was kind of a mini ending of the book, those verses right around 11, 15. And here we are, 11, 15 through 19, and here we are doing this 12, 13, 14. And then when we get back to 15, it's back on. Amen? Making sense? When you begin to see it and hear it over and over again, it begins to make a little sense. We see the what? Who is the persecutor of this woman? It is the red dragon. Who's the red dragon? Satan. We see the personality of the dragon. But secondly, we see the pollution of the dragon. What is the pollution? A third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. That's a lot. That is a lot. This reference in 4a, look at chapter 4, am I there? And his tail swept away a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. This reference in 4a refers us back to the what? The fall of Satan. A prehistory. He has not always been an evil creature, though, right? Did you know that? Satan was not always an evil creature. In the beginning, he was the ranking angel in heaven. He was the ranking angel in heaven. Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 12 through 15 says, "The Son of Man, take up a lamentation over the king of Tyre and say to him, thus says the Lord God, you had the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The ruby, the topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the lapis lazuli, the turquoise, and the emerald, and the gold. The workmanship of your settings and sockets was in you. On the day that you were created, they were prepared. You were the anointed cherub who covers, and I placed you there. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked in the midst of the stones of fire. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created until unrighteousness was found in you." In the beginning, he was what? He was the ranking angel in heaven. But pride was found in Lucifer's heart, and he tried to take, you could say, God's throne. You could say he tried to take a little piece of God's glory for himself. You could say he tried to take over heaven. You could say he wanted just a little bit of worship and praise for himself. I mean, after all, God, I'm covering your glory. After all, God, I'm transporting your glory when you want to go somewhere. After all, shouldn't I get a little praise for being associated with your glory? And God said, absolutely not. Get thee out of here, right? And take those with you that are on your team, right? He tried to overthrow the Lord, a created being trying to overthrow the Creator. Now, you've got to see that there's a lot of pride in that, to think you, the created being, can overthrow the Creator. Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 through 14 says, "How you have fallen from heaven, O star of the morning, son of the dawn. You have been cut down to the earth. You have weakened the nations, but you said in your heart, 'I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God, and I will sit on the mount of assembly in the recesses of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High.'" So, Lucifer sinned and became, starts with an S, ends with an N, Satan. He was cast out of heaven. Isaiah 14, 15 says, "Nevertheless, you will be thrust down to Sheol." That's a reference of him going where? To hell. "To the recesses of the pit." Ezekiel 28, 16 through 18 reads, "By the abundance of your trade you were internally filled with violence, and you sinned. Therefore, I have cast you as profane from the mountain of God, and I have destroyed you. O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire, your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom by reason of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I put you before kings that they may see you. By the multitude of your iniquities, in the unrighteousness of your trade, you profaned your sanctuaries. Therefore, I have brought fire from the midst of you. It has consumed you, and I have turned you to ashes on the earth in the eyes of all who see you." So the beauty's gone. The splendor's gone. He has been one scorched puppy chunked down here to earth, and yet he still has power that God's allowed him to have. Now, it should be noted that although he was cast from his dwelling in heaven, Satan in this present age still has what? He still has access to God. He still has access to God's presence. You can look at chapter 12, verse 10. Can I find it? "Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, 'Now the salvation and the power of the kingdom of our God and authority of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren.'" Who might that be? Satan? Yeah. "Has been thrown down, he who accuses them before God day and night." Day and night, right? You see that? Job chapter 1 and Job chapter 2 tell us that Satan has access. In chapters 12, verses 7 through 9, "However, he will permanently be barred from heaven after his defeat by Michael and the holy angels during the tribulation." So right now he still has access. What's he doing up there? He's making accusation against me and you. Huh? Accusing the brethren. He's accusing me and you. And what is God doing? Well, if we're saved, he's like, "What? I see the blood." That's exactly right. "I see the Son. What are you talking about?" Right? And he keeps accusing. And if we're saved, if we're under the blood, we're covered, right? And the penalty of our sin is removed. The penalty of our sin is removed, right? When Lucifer fell, he drew how many? He drew one-third of the angels of heaven into his rebellion. I don't know about you, but that's a salesman and a half, man. That's a politician extraordinaire. A third. Think about that. A third. I mean, it's not a majority, but it's a third of the angels of heaven into his rebellion. They were cast out because they sided with him. They were cast out of heaven as well. Now, we call these fallen angels, what do we call them? Demons, that's right, demonic. They're part of Satan's kingdom, and they do his bidding. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places." So, I've always wondered this, and I asked Miss Karen in jest Wednesday, how many angels can you get on the head of a... Yeah, right. Y'all didn't talk about that. But I have often thought, how many is a third of the stars cast down? In other words, how many angels rebelled with Satan? I just want to know. And one day I will know, but I don't know now. I get a ballpark figure, but I can't know with any certainty what a specific number is. The specific number of angels who joined Satan in his rebellion is not revealed, but it's got to be vast. It's got to be enormous. Revelation chapter 5:11 says, "Then I looked," Revelation 5:11, "then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne and the living creature and the elders, and the number of them was myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands." Myriad is 10,000. It's the largest number that a Greek can put in word form. Ten thousands of ten thousands and thousands of thousands. Revelation 5:11 says that the number of the angels around God's throne numbered myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands. Now, that's just around the throne. That's not the total number of angels. That's just angels around the throne, right? Myriad does not represent an exact number. It was the highest number the Greeks expressed, I said, in a word, right? And since one-third of the angels fell, and Revelation 9:16 reveals that 200 million demons will be released from captivity near the Euphrates River, Revelation 9:16 reads, "The number of the armies of the horsemen was 200 million. I heard the number of them." So uncounted thousands of other demons will have already been released from the abyss earlier in the tribulation, Revelation 9, verses 1 through 3. In addition to those two groups of bound demons, there are millions of others who are currently free to roam the earth and the heavenly realm, per Ephesians 6:12, Colossians 2:15. So how many was the third? Well, we can at least say it was over 200 million. That's a lot of demons, man. Over 200 million. We can safely perhaps say 300 million, or we could bring it back to 250 million. Who knows for sure, but it's over 200 million, which is a lot, isn't it? That's a lot. We see the pollution of the dragon, the personality of the dragon. Who's the persecutor of this woman? That brings us to the plans of the dragon. Second half of verse 4, chapter 12. "And his tail swept away a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she gave birth, he might devour her child." Satan is pictured as standing before Israel, waiting for the birth of her child. His intention is to destroy the seed of the woman as soon as the seed is born. Satan had worked. He had worked from the beginning of time in order to prevent the birth of the promised seed of the woman. But every time he tries to prevent it, the Creator God, the Holy Spirit, they just keep working around him. Isn't that amazing? I mean, let me kind of take you through it. Satan moved Cain to kill Abel, thinking he could stop God's plan. But what Satan didn't plan on was that God would send Seth, right? Seeking to produce a mongrel, half-human, half-demon, and thus unredeemable race of men. We covered this when we preached through Genesis. Satan sent demons called sons of God. The same Hebrew phrase refers to angels in Job chapter 1, verse 6, Job chapter 2, verse 1, Job chapter 38, verse 7, Psalm 29, 1, Psalm 89, 6. Satan sent those sons of God to cohabit with human women, Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, but he didn't plan on Noah and the ark. "I'll run an in-around around that," God said. "You got to be quicker than that. Satan, you got to eat your lunch. We're playing big time. You're messing with the Creator now. You can keep doing this, but the seed of woman is coming. The seed of woman is coming through my chosen people. Jesus is coming to earth. My word said he's coming. My word comes true. Right? Think about that when we talk about the second coming. Satan aroused Esau to anger so that Jacob might be killed. He did not know that God would help Jacob escape. Satan, he tried to kill off the Jews in Egypt by having Pharaoh slay all the little boys and absorbing all the little Jewish girls. He did not know that God would save a little boy named Moses in Pharaoh's home who would lead the people out of Egypt. He tried to lead Israel away into idolatry, thinking God would destroy the nation. He did not see God sending them into captivity. He did not see God giving them the grace when they cried out to them. God always saved his people. He judged his people. He would punish his people. But he would always save a remnant of his people. Satan failed in every attempt to stop the birth of Christ. And when the time came for Jesus to enter the world, Satan did everything in his power to slay the Christ child when he was an infant. He moved Herod to destroy all the babies in Bethlehem under the age of 2. Matthew chapter 2, verses 16 through 18. Get the point? Amen? The plans of the dragon, the pollution of the dragon, the personality of the dragon, who is the persecutor of this woman? It's Satan. Right? We move on from there, and let's look at verse 5. I've got a little bit of time left. I think I can get this in. We've got the progeny of this woman. Now, progeny, what are you talking about? I'm talking about her offspring. The progeny of this woman. This verse, verse 5, speaks of the seed of the woman. Look at verse 5 with me, 12:5. And she gave birth to a son, a male child, who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and to his throne. Progeny of this woman, right? Or we could say, we normally say that of a family. We say that. That family is very prolific. A lot of kids in the family. Prolific. I guess that means more than one progeny we're talking about. I guess we're just talking about the one here. But let's talk about his description. He's called a male, or your Bible may say man-child. The seed of the woman came into the world like every other baby. He came from the womb of his mother. But this child, unlike any other child that had ever or would ever be born, for you see, this seed of the woman was born without a human father. Matthew chapter 1 verse 20. His mother was a virgin. Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14. Luke chapter 1 verse 34. And he was the seed. You know who he was. He was and is God. You know who he is. In human flesh. John chapter 1:1. Amen. John chapter 1 verse 14. Somebody say amen. Amen. Philippians chapter 2 verses 5 through 8. The word is crystal clear that the seed of the woman is none other than the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ, right? You see his description. He's called a male, a man-child, but we also see his destiny. His destiny is to rule the nations with a rod of iron. This man-child would come into the world, and he would one day rule the world. We see this prophecy fulfilled in Revelation 19:15. He will rule for several reasons, or the reasons he rules. Reason number one, he will rule because he created this universe, and it is his. Colossians 1, verses 16 through 17. Jesus created it. It was created for him. It was created by him. Jesus, Colossians 1, 16 and 17, look it up. Second, he will rule because he purchased this world with his own blood when he died on Calvary's cross, Revelation 5, 9. Third, he will rule because he alone is worthy to rule and reign, Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. So we see the progeny of this woman. Who is the seed? The seed is Jesus Christ. What is his description? A male man-child. What is his destiny? His destiny is to rule. What is his deliverance? Well, the man-child is pictured being caught up to God and to the throne of God. And here is the good news and the gospel contained in this verse. Jesus Christ did what? Jesus Christ died for our sins on the what? On the cross. But the good news is he did not stay dead, right? He arose from the dead 3 days later, Revelation 1:18. After he arose from the dead, he ascended back to heaven. Acts 1, verses 9 through 11, he sat down at the right hand of his Father in heaven. Hebrews 1, 3 and Hebrews 10, 12. And what's he doing for us? He's making intercession for us. Amen? But he'll not stay there forever. He's returning for his bride. And he's coming real soon. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 through 18. I read that passage at Randy Chambers' funeral. He's coming back. The dead in Christ shall rise, and those that remain will be caught up, right? Transformed. A new body, man, right then and there. Kaboom, pow, rapture of the church. He will come to defeat his enemies. He will come to assume his rightful place as King of kings and Lord of lords. Amen. And that's Revelation chapter 6, verses 3, 4, and 5. Amen, church? Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you, Lord, that this book tells us over and over and over again that what's been spoken already in the Bible is coming to fruition. This book tells us over and over again that the gospel is real, that the second coming is imminent, that your word is true. And that if we're saved, Lord, if we're saved, we are blessed. Blessed beyond measure. Thank you, God, for saving us. Thank you for this week that you've given us, and we look forward to a new week starting tomorrow. Pray for good rest for your congregation, Lord, for your church. I pray for sweet dreams, and I pray for just a solid, good rest, God. Get them rested up. Get them ready. Ready for the week. And Lord, there be problems come and challenges come, but God, you're for us, not against us. And Lord, you are leading us if we will listen. If we will be in your word and be in prayer, we will find your leadership for the day. We will find your leadership for the week. We will find your encouragement along the way. And Lord, if we will keep our sin account short. And Lord, if we will think about, as we talked about this morning, oh, how those sins, how they grieve your heart. And Lord, we're not thinking that to get anything out of you. We're not thinking that to somehow burden ourselves to heaven. We're not thinking that for that. We're just thinking that because sin hurt you. Sin grieved you. And Lord, as we think about that and we think about the forgiveness, Lord, may we experience the blessing of comfort. And Lord, may we know the comfort is eternal comfort, that it lasts forever and ever and ever for those that are saved and redeemed. God, we thank you for holding us up, and we thank you for carrying us along, and we thank you for showing us the way. We thank you for working in spite of us. Thank you for all you do for us. Lord, give us safety as we depart this place, and Father God, I pray you bring us back again on Wednesday. And then, Lord, we're praying a special prayer for next Sunday. Thank you for showing yourself, God, in your word. And thank you for showing yourself in the music. And thank you for your revealing yourself in your times of anointing when we get together and pray. Thank you that you're an ever-present help in time of trouble. We love you tonight. We praise you. And God's people said, amen. You folks are dismissed.